Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Tom Bailey, MD at Shy Camera. Hello, Tom.
Hello, good morning.
Tom, let's start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Shy Camera.
Okay. I don't know what to call myself quite, but I guess I'm a sort of creative producer. My background is quite broad, ranging from event management background, ranging from sort of theatre, touring theatre, international touring, large-scale carnival, fireworks, and film projects. And then in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, the film started to become the kind of dominant thing that I was engaged with. And 18 months ago, I merged my outfit at that time with a long-term collaborator and friend of mine, and we merged our companies and formed Shy Camera as a sort of video film production outfit in Brighton.
Yeah. So you're in my hometown of Brighton. Do you find Brighton a good place for this? It seems to be a home of a lot of creatives, doesn't it?
It is a good thing. It's a mixed bag, actually. It's a mixed blessing, probably, because it is, as you say, it's an interesting community, and there are a lot of people doing interesting things, and so there's a definite sense of community and a network out there. At the same time, it's quite a small city, beautifully formed as it may be, so it means that we're sort of faced with that challenge of convincing, you know, those London types that actually Brighton is only an hour away on the train.
Yeah,
but you know, it's good. We're happy to be here, and it's a lovely place to work.
Yeah, Brighton, the place where you're almost guaranteed to bump into someone you know if you go for a walk in town.
Completely.
It's a bit like going for a walk anywhere in Iceland, really, because the population's about the same, isn't it?
But everyone in Brighton seems to be either writing a novel or producing a film or putting on a fringe show, or, you know, which is a great thing.
Yes, I've stopped saying I'm a filmmaker now because I feel a bit of a fake. I've only made about two films and haven't done one for ages. But let's not get swept aside by Brightonisms. Let's talk about the different ways that businesses can use sort of video content for marketing, which is the crux of the sort of the convo today. What would your comment be on that? I mean, in your experience, what are the different approaches that people can take?
Blimey. I mean, I'm sure you, your listeners will know this almost better than me, but we're in a really interesting time for video and the sort of role that plays in the marketing mix. Mm. I mean, off the top of my head, there's tons of applications. There's your sort of classic meet the company corporate, in inverted commas. There's kind of in-house kind of video blogging or in-house content, whether that's truly in-house or kind of made to look in-house, spanning right through to the kind of advert commercial grade content. There's the kind of experiential marketing events that often tie in with a kind of video product, which expands the reach of those activities. I mean, the list goes on, and I think all the trends indicate that video has been playing a more important role in the kind of marketing activities of organizations and will continue to for the sort of foreseeable future. So I think we're at the beginning or early on in a really interesting time for content.
Well, I want to talk about that because I think there's been so many changes recently. I'm wondering, actually, my original question was going to be how have things changed in the last few years, but I think a better question is how have things changed in the last few months? I mean, video is featuring a lot more strongly on Facebook these days, isn't it?
And
Twitter have changed the way they do video now. I mean, what's your view of all this?
I mean, revolution is a big word, but actually I think what's happened is there's been a kind of real fundamental shift on sort of various aspects of what video is. And on the sort of production side, we've seen huge changes in camera technology and this sort of access to quality kit, which enables filmmakers... I mean, it used to be that they were a kind of broadcast standard kit, and then everyone else was kind of condemned to sort of slightly grainy digital video making equipment. Mm-hmm. And actually that distinction is has melted away now. And it means that the access to proper quality, beautiful cameras that can produce images that, you know, you could project onto an IMAX quite comfortably means that there's been a huge shift in the way films are made, and the access to kit is no longer a kind of hurdle to sort of small, lean, dynamic production outfits. Yeah, like us, I might say at that point. But that, that change is also mirrored in the whole post-production process. So it's gone from requiring specialist facilities and specialist experts working on specialist kit in terms of the edit, in terms of the color grade, all of these processes, in terms of audio post-production. All of those tools are now available kind of on a high spec laptop. And, you know, and that has put the power in the hands of all filmmakers. It's sort of really, really kind of democratized that whole process. And then on the flip side, so if that's the changes in making, the flip side in kind of distribution or the audience is that that has also undergone a kind of fundamental shift. Obviously, going back a few years now with kind of YouTube and the online Vimeo and the online VOD platforms, but are now increasingly like social as they get their teeth firmly into video content.
Yeah.
The kind of change, in the way that audiences consume video is kind of, I mean, it is revolutionary, and it means, and what the effect of that is that everyone's expectation about what video content is or should be is rising all the time, and audiences are kind of empowered by being able to switch off or just turn away or just, you know, press skip, and it means that the video, you know, film content needs to stand on its own two feet as quality, engaging stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than in the old days, you'd have this kind of TV platform where the space is paid for and purchased and the audience is kind of locked there waiting between programs. It is, you know, all these things are kind of making a perfect storm in which is a really sort of fertile and interesting space for organizations like ours, I guess.
You mentioned, you know, the advances in technology, which are in theory are making things easier and easier.
Yeah.
From a sort of technical standpoint. But I mean, there's still the sort of creative human brain side of it. And I was just wondering, do you think we're going to see a proliferation, or have we seen a proliferation? Of really rubbish videos, incredibly technically very good quality, but content-wise very rubbish? Or do you think kind of that's okay because we're expecting more sort of voyeuristic, kind of slightly amateurish approaches, but very high quality?
I mean, I think at this point there's probably room for it all, because you know, the audience is now so broad, and the channels are so kind of multi. There's so many channels for organizations to reach their niche audience that they can make content that's suitable for their audience.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a kind of, we're in sort of early days because there are a whole bunch of people who, the rules are changing, you know, weekly, daily.
Yeah.
And there are people who aren't good, and they are ultimately, what the freedoms in technology means is that access to technology is no longer an excuse. It all becomes about the quality of the ideas and the quality of execution. Now, that's a really empowering thing. And it's also kind of scary, right? Because it becomes about the ideas, and you have to have faith in your idea and your ability to deliver. Now, we think that's exciting because we're no longer going, we would make this beautiful film if only we could get hold of a camera that could output in 4K.
Yeah.
Now we can. Mm. So that thing is swept away. So for us, we're excited. I suspect the people who aren't quite so good at it might, you know, the quality of the image will not rescue them. It will just show it in sort of beautiful high HD.
Yes. Well, let's so talking of sort of different conventions and different approaches. I mean, a lot of people think that corporate videos, you know, like videos, the classic sort of idea of a headshot of a managing director spouting stuff,
yeah,
is that is a corporate video. What's the reality? Because I suspect that has changed, hasn't it?
Yes, I think it has changed, or it's changing. I think there's still probably a lot of that out there, and there's still definitely a place for a film which is basically fundamentally hearing from the team or the boss or the marketing manager or whoever that figurehead is. I think there's definitely a place for that. I think that generally the quality of those films are getting better and will continue to improve. Mm. And the audience's expectation is that they will have a kind of more filmic aesthetic.
Yeah. And
they should, because that is achievable now. They should be more engaging than your classic. I mean, I imagine I'm picturing a thing when you say that of the guy sat at his desk with, you know, people sort of bit busy in the background doing
yes.
that. I think those are kind of on the way out.
Mm.
And I think if people are being pitched those, then they should think about sort of getting a broader idea of what's possible. But fundamentally, the model of hearing from the organization or the person is still relevant. It's just that it can be done in a much clever, more sort of beautifully realized way now.
When we watch TV in latter years, there's a big, I think we're still on the crest of the wave. There's a big kind of thing going on about sort of reality TV and sort of semi-synthesized reality TV.
Mm.
If we've sort of lumped that together with sort of the notion of drama, it's an interesting approach. I mean, do you think that works well when you're trying to sort of market using video? Yeah. Again, incredibly broad question, but do your best.
I mean, drama, I guess it sort of depends what we're talking about by drama. I mean, I think when people talk about we want drama, I think that they mean that they want to produce original content with narrative and emotion and, you know, getting into the territory of the kind of advert, the TV, the broadcast, the TV
yes.
advert or
yeah.
the short film. Or so we have a beginning, we have an end, we have...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A sort of resolution or a narrative arc of some form. We have actors who are playing characters. What's exciting is that used to be very much in the realms of the big boys. You know, that was... It's a serious operation to bring a sort of piece of fiction to camera, and it still is. But as we've talked about already, the rules are changing, and It means that kind of small dynamic organizations like us, it means that, I mean, I guess we draw on a background of sort of producing and working in theater. So the skills for that are fundamentally the same. You're planning, you're casting actors, you're rehearsing, you're scripting, you're building sets. You know, there's art direction, there's all of these things are the same. But what's happened is it that stuff is now within reach for more and more organizations because of the changes in technology and the vehicles for distribution. It means that budgets, you know, people, organizations can get much more bang for their buck. And drama is now a sort of reachable tool, device for many more organizations, which is really exciting because that's where we feel like we add the most value. It's where we're most excited to work. And so you get lots of companies making really interesting content for the web, but which are fundamentally dramatic adverts, you know, narrative pieces.
Well, you mentioned the web. I mean, how does video on the web differ from TV material? Or do you think they might be merging?
I think they are merging for all the reasons we've kind of talked about. You know, more and more of that kind of commercial, like, you know, advert aesthetic is now obtainable, as we've discussed, and more organizations are kind of investing into bring that kind of finish to their video content. In terms of placing it, I think it's probably still very separate, and because, you know, the budgets required for TV slots still remain significant. But that will change too, because the web becomes more and more of a relevant platform for organizations to put their content out there. And yeah, and I think that they're sort of converging because organizations are aware that they need to be investing in video content which is interesting and engaging and you know, shareable, and, you know, people are actually going to enjoy, rather than churning out, you know, adverts that passive audiences are going to sit in front of and you know, somehow going to seep into their subconscious. They need to be really, really investing in sort of good video content, and can do so.
You mentioned earlier about the experiential approach, Tom, and I'm just wondering, can you tell us a bit about that? Can you expand on that a bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, the experiential approach, the sort of the big sort of famous ones are done by, there's the button in the square where they come out and the orchestra comes live, and there's a whole sort of action sequence come, or the red light district in Amsterdam making a point about exploitation. Or it's where a live event is produced, and it's sort of, on the one hand, it's playing for the audience and the people engaging with it in real time. But planned at the core of it is also the capture of that whole thing taking place. And then out of that comes a very sort of very enjoyable and sort of satisfyingly coherent piece of video content, which expands the reach of that event, that sort of marketing activity. Well, as far as you like, if you get a real sort of shareable thing coming out of it. And I think that increasingly brands and organizations are going to want to be, you know, taking this approach and considering the experiential marketing, which exists currently alongside the sort of video content production, and those things, once they're thought about as a sort of coherent activity, then that's when it sort of can really gain traction, I guess.
I'm interested in live events because I do hear a lot of marketing people talking about turning their live events into videos. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, we do quite a bit of event filming, and it can be a really nice way to kind of capture the mood and you know, reflect back on what's happened, and indeed kind of attract people to maybe the next one. I think the challenge for us is that obviously live events happen in real time and at quite a pace. And actually, you know, filmmaking for us is quite a slow and deliberate art.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of, there's a tension there about trying to run around and get material happening in real time that you cannot stage, cannot ask to repeat, cannot, you know, change lens and get a different angle on.
Yeah.
So there is a tension there. And you know, we always try to plot out what we want to make first. So we've got a really, really clear idea of what the film will be, and then go to the event with that in mind. I mean, I guess my advice to people who are who want, you know, lots of people go, we're running this event, we're spending a lot of money on it, let's make a film of it. And my advice would be is, you know, if the production company is saying, you know, we really need another camera, or we need another three cameras on that, they might not be, you know, trying to expand their budget for the sake of it. They might actually be worrying about the content which they're going to produce at the other end of it. I would also say that it's important for organizers to kind of ask for a treatment or an outline of what the film will look like before the event, long before the event is going up.
Yes.
Because, you know, the days of running around, getting a load of stuff and getting back to the edit room with, hours of rushes on the hard drive and trying to cut something out of it, that's not the way to approach it.
Yeah, we've been there. It's right there, isn't it? Lack of planning.
Well, the planning either happens before the shoot or it happens after the shoot when the decisions have already been made. And we always like to make our decisions before we head out.
Let's talk about classic mistakes, Tom, if you're willing to talk about classic mistakes. Obviously, I know that you don't make any, but for our listeners that are thinking of trying to do something in-house, maybe, some words of wisdom from...
Blimey. Well, I mean, I guess from the sort of commissioner's perspective or from the client's perspective, I think that a classic mistake that is often made is not allowing enough access, time, or staff to enough commitment to the process of the film. So, you know, you often get a scenario in which the internal budget's been signed off, that everyone's really on board. You get there on the day one of the shoot and it's all really good. And then it turns out that actually what's required of the filmmaking process hasn't been communicated clearly to the people who are going to need to facilitate it. And so it actually becomes a, painful process where people are going, oh, well, I've only got an hour, or I thought this would be done by 3 o'clock, or I also need to be taking phone calls all day.
Mm.
And it undermines all of that good start. It is undermined then by the actual, not having enough buy-in and commitment. I mean, the other thing is not appreciating the importance of the finer details, like sort of lighting. The importance of lighting or the importance of proper sound. These things take time and they can be pretty dull, actually. But they are actually the difference between like an okay film and a really, really good film. And so just trying to have enough space to sort of take that on board is what I would say is a classic mistake for on the client side. I mean, on our side, yes, of course, we never make any of them. But there are tons to make.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fundamental one is trying to do too much in a day. As I say, filmmaking is a sort of slow and deliberate art, and the ratio of kind of setup to shooting time is kind of can be nuts. You know, you can spend an hour setting up a thing which is going to give you 5 seconds of coverage. So on our side, it can be really, really easy when we're planning to try and get too much laid out in 1 day or 2 days because we don't want it to spill out. But that's also the way it works. And, we're always working to try and squeeze every penny out of a project budget to try and put as much of it onto the screen as possible. So I think anyone working in film will kind of recognize those challenges and potential errors when you're just simply trying to do too much in 1 day and it just gets fraught.
I think a lot of people forget about pre-production, don't they? All the stuff you have to do to get ready for the actual shoot.
Completely. And that's, again, on both sides. There's a lot of... We always approach a thing with we say shoot to script. Are we shooting to script? And I think the difference between a kind of an okay video making process and a sort of one that's going to get the most value out of it is that the planning is all before the shoot, because you need to go there and you need to know what you're going to get. You need to know what you're going to build out of it.
Yeah.
And so we kind of test ourselves with a kind of, okay, are we shooting to script? Are we still on script? And it also extends when you're actually on site. It means that you're not, it's very easy to get distracted into, oh, I'll just get this, or I'm going to go and get a load of this stuff just in case, or we need extra coverage of that.
Mm.
And actually you need to balance this the whole time going, is it as we've planned? And that is also true of on client side. Sometimes projects get signed off and then they go, great, that's going to be beautiful. We look forward to seeing it. What they don't appreciate is that then you've got sort of 4, 5, 6 weeks of to-ing and fro-ing with scripts and storyboard development, which needs access to internal resources and people and interviews and site visits and all of those things.
Sure.
It can be easy to sort of underestimate what's involved.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for your... insights there. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Shy Camera?
Well, I'm on Twitter, Bom Taylee, and Shy Camera. We can find us on www.shycamera.co.uk.
you do what I do. So you're Bom Taily. That's BOMTAILEY. You do what I do. I swap the letters of words. It really irritates most people.
I think I wasn't an early enough adopter to get Tom Bailey on Twitter.
Right. Bom Taily. I like it. It's good.
Excellent.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom. And thanks for our listeners for listening. You can find the show notes at sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher, so tell all your friends. And if you want to contact us, there's two ways you can do that. Email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, and there's a telephone hotline, +44 1273 256 150. If you want to leave a comment or a question, that would be fab. So it's goodbye from me, Andy, and it's goodbye from Tom.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.